WNYC Studios.
Hey, Snappers. Welcome to a very, very, very special Snap today. A journey we've never taken before. Together, you and I, we're going to balance a very precarious tightrope between the real and the unreal. All with one question in mind. How far would you go? Snap judgment.
One. The time traveler leaves her craft in a copse of trees near the center of the park. She walks quickly, as quickly as she can these days, with her aging knees and hips. She takes the subway downtown till she reaches the poorest part of the city. She finds the artist, at home, amidst the squalor, paints scattered, no hot water, barely room for a dirty mattress. He is so young, the artist, a smooth face in the dark of his walk-up. She supposes this will be easy, from the hungry tilt of his face to his stooped posture from painting under the attic roof. Right off, she can tell he does not recognize her. Her face is lined now, her hair faded, from gold to white. She tells him that she is a very famous curator. A lie. She says she has heard rumors about him, but now, here, surrounded by his work, she can see he has no talent, that his paintings are no good. This, too, is a lie. Still, she continues. Give up painting, she tells him. It will ruin you and those that love you. Pick a job that pays, one with security. Don't you want stability? Happiness? The artist looks at her, aghast but defiant. He knows his way around this kind of truth. When the time traveler returns to her own time, she heads straight to the third gallery on the third floor of the museum. The painting still hangs. A moon-filled abstract, curves like rolling blue hills lit from within and without. The room is crowded with people who have only seen it on hollow screens. They are breathless in its physical presence. The dates under the artist's name mark his long-ago birth and death. The painting is now titled, In Spite Of. Two. The time traveler counts to three and throws the dummy onto the highway as a bottle-green Ford comes barreling over the bridge. After the smash-up, she calls the young artist Collect from a Modesto diner.
Your brother's been in a terrible accident, she says. Long recovery ahead. He's asking for you. Come home.
Come home for good, she says. When she gets back to her present time, the painting still hangs in the gallery, unchanged. She isn't exactly surprised. The artist never had time for family. Three. The time traveler sits at dinner with the artist's muse and the man she has hired to seduce the artist's muse. I was pretty then, the time traveler thinks. Her younger self has green eyes and gold hair. She is tall and strong, with large breasts and round hips, and the man is happy to do his job. The time traveler sits at the bar, watching them laugh and flirt, and buys bottle after bottle of wine for the table. When the man puts his hand on the muse's thigh, her face softens into a sweet smile. The time traveler stands for a long time under the muse's open window, listening to her low moans float onto the warm summer air. She returns to her own time, and the painting still hangs in the gallery. Now it is titled, Forgiveness. Four. The time traveler steals the artist and the muse's rent. She knows they keep it in the freezer, stashed in a coffee can. Their landlord, she recalls, was a son of a bitch. Now, When she returns to the museum, the painting is smaller, much smaller. But it is still the single occupant of the room, and it still sucks the air from the room, and it still lights the room from within and without. "Christ," says the time traveler, and the tourists standing next to her shift uneasily in Midwestern disapproval. 5. The time traveler posts an acceptance letter from a California dental college, complete with a $900 bonus if the artist enrolls in the next 2 weeks. Back in the museum, the painting is bigger again, and the bio on the wall mentions, as a humorous bit of trivia, that the artist briefly considered dental school.
"Can you imagine?" a guide says to his tour. "The artist as a dentist?"
6. The time traveler sets explosive charges under the artist's house and blows them when no one is home. Upon return to the museum, the painting is still there. But now the guide lectures on how the painter eventually lost his mind after the incident. The artist, he says, created a series of paintings using his own waste, which his wife, his muse, unfortunately destroyed. The tourists make faces. 7. The time traveler sets fire to the unfinished painting. The painting is still there. 8. The time traveler pours acid on the unfinished painting.
The painting is still there.
9. The time traveler paints over the unfinished painting.
The painting is still there.
10. The time traveler steals the unfinished painting and buries it in the past of the past.
The painting is still there.
11. The time traveler curses,
cuts, spits on,
slashes,
saws in half,
kicks,
pours water over,
blow torches,
burns to bits,
eats the ashes,
smashes
up,
the easel,
throws
around,
out the paint,
and washes her hands of the unfinished painting.
In triumph, she returns to the museum. The painting is still there. It hangs, suspended, like an artfully falling ocean, says a pretentious young man in a straw boater and suspenders. The time traveler thinks of artfully falling anvils instead. 12. The time traveler steals the unfinished painting and takes it back to the future, where it disappears like smoke upon arrival. And the painting is still there, is still there, is still there. Is still hanging in the gallery, and now it is titled Perseverance. The time traveler feels the unfairness of this keenly. She has persevered, and yet she has not succeeded. She has not made him see that the painting will be his undoing, that his end will be a sad one, there in that bedroom with his failures and his disappointments and his useless, incomprehensible war with the painting. All that genius given, all that misery marked for the both of them. XIII. The time traveler finds the muse at her lunch. She watches her eat her sandwich with gusto, tomato and cheese on thick slabs of crusty bread. She watches the muse gulp down wine, watches her strong white teeth and her smooth white throat. The time traveler sighs. She was more in love with life than him. She'd never have believed how black and long the days could stretch over her, mean and empty like shadows in the winter. She takes out the pill, drops it into the muse's wine glass. She leaves before her green eyes can close. She still needs them to see, just for a moment until the timeline catches up. The time traveler materializes in the gallery, where the painting no longer hangs. Now there is another painting, Lilies on a Pond, and Google finds only a retired dentist in Modesto, California. The time traveler smiles then, a soft, sweet smile, and no, her limbs don't start to fade away, nor does that smile hang on the air, nor does she slowly dissolve like pixels on a screen over a wall. She simply smiles, and then isn't.
13 Ways to Destroy a Painting by Amber Sparks. Eliza Smith adapted it for our production, and you can find out all things Amber Sparks on our website, snapjudgment.org. The narrator was San Francisco's own Tao Nguyen of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. Directed by Mark Ristich, original score and soundscape by Pat Mussini Miller. That story was produced by Eliza Smith. You've reached the end of the Snap Judgment Storytelling Podcast. If you missed even a moment, subscribe now. Tell somebody. Snapjudgment.org. And we've got big news, because Snap Judgment Live is going on tour. Los Angeles, Mesa, Seattle, Portland, Minneapolis, Royal Oak, Chicago. If you didn't just hear your city, stay tuned. We're going to be adding new places, new times all this year. Get ready. We can't wait to see you there.